Welcome to the Ellsworth Rock Gardens podcast. Ellsworth is one of 15 visitor destinations within Voyageurs National Park. Imagine standing below a granite outcrop that rises 60 feet high. Scattered throughout the outcrop are trees, shrubs, weeds, and a variety of rock. There's not much to look at unless you are a person who sees beauty in the unexpected. Today we can only imagine what Jack Ellsworth must have been thinking when he came to Cabotogama Lake in 1944. Perhaps a vision that included gardens everywhere and sculptures interspersed throughout. We cannot be too far off in our thoughts, as this is what stands before you as you gaze up at the granite outcrop. Over the next 20 years, Jack painted an amazing picture of beauty using the landscape as his canvas. He carefully crafted 60 uniquely terraced flower beds, along with over 200 sculptures. Between the 1940s and the 1960s, on any given day, visitors to Cabotogama Lake would see the gardens off in the distance. The beautiful rock formations and their vast numbers of bright orange tiger lilies drew visitors into its spectacle. Jack would often sit back in his chair and let visitors to the lake walk throughout the gardens. Elsie stayed out of view, mostly in the cabin they called home. Today there is little known about Jack and his wife, Elsie. They lived most of their life in Chicago, Illinois, where Jack worked as a carpenter and architect. They had no children and few relatives. Jack tried his hand at fishing the lakes, but found he didn't care for it. Gardening became his passion. He spent more than 14,000 recorded hours constructing and beautifying the gardens. We will now be taking a virtual tour of the landscape, so be careful not to slip on the wet rocks. Remember not to lean on the sculptures for support, as they may break. Don't twist an ankle, as the hike is steep. Our tour starts at the signpost, which is a reconstruction of Jack's original post. Visitors who came during the construction of the gardens would have docked near the signpost and viewed Jack sitting in a chair at the base of the outcrop. One can traverse this landscape by following the painted arrows, still visible today, through the gardens. As you view the gardens from the signpost, one can see why this area is known as the postcard view. If you were to look up to the very top of the gardens, there lies one of the two teepees that Jack constructed. The terraces laid out before you are called dry stacked, which is a technique that does not use mortar. Have you ever put together a jigsaw puzzle? The kind where the sky is all one color and you can only match the pieces by their size and shape? Dry stack technique is similar to the jigsaw puzzle. The only way the rocks are held together is by placing them precisely so that they form interconnected walls. Once completed with the dry stacking, Jack crushed a type of rock called gneiss that has quartz into small pieces and laid it on top to resemble frosting on a cake. For the majority of the sculptures you see, Jack used only the principle of the wheel, the inclined plane, and the lever to move all the rock. Imagine lifting these rocks, some of which may have weighed thousands of pounds, partially up the cliff, by hand, alone. It would not have been an easy process. Now you have climbed up the rocky outcrop and are standing at the top looking back toward the lake. Almost all the trees you see would have been cut down to enhance the views of Cabotogama Lake. One of the amazing things about the gardens is a mystical village that stands at the top. Jack blended his vision of the rock garden with the natural beauty of the area. It is time to walk down to the bottom of the gardens, but along the way you can find more mystical creatures in Jack's sculptures. Not only were some of Jack's creations whimsical, but some were practical, such as this stone bridge. If you follow its path, it will lead you to one of his prized discoveries. One day, as Jack was clearing more land for his gardens, he happened upon a strange rock sitting on top of granite bedrock, and he was certain it was a meteorite. This rock grew to be famous over the years as the Ellsworth meteorite was one of the most frequently photographed areas of the gardens. The United States Geological Survey eventually tested the rock, and it turned out to be a glacial erratic, a rock left by glaciers when they began to melt. Once you have reached the bottom, the other side of the gardens, you can find remnants of where the Ellsworth home once stood. In 1978, the National Park Service purchased this property and began restoration of the gardens in 2001. However, the house had fallen into such disrepair that it had to be torn down. In its place is a picnic shelter that follows the outline of the old foundation. It has been described as a place of city in the wilderness, with its beautiful cabinets and the original fireplace still standing. During the time Jack and Elsie were at the gardens, more than 5,000 visitors came here during the summers to view the spectacular and beautiful gardens. Jack Ellsworth managed to blend the beauty of the landscape with the beauty of civilization to create a garden that was truly uniquely his own. Today, the gardens are eligible to be in the National Register of Historic Places. Come, be inspired by the beauty of the unexpected. Thank you for listening to the Ellsworth Rock Gardens podcast.